What is up, everyone? Welcome to the special edition episode of the Fire Cup Frequency. Today, we are going to be talking about my experiences at PAX freaking East. Yes, you just heard me right. We're going to be showing interviews. I'm going to be explaining what I did. We're going to go into depth, and this might be our first 30-minute episode. So, let's get right into it. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, now I have to give you a little bit of background. Sorry if I sound a little different. I'm using my computer's voice recorder instead of Anchor's website because this is going to be a pretty long one. So, we'll start off Thursday, the morning of the first event of PAX. So basically, I was going on Friday, we left Thursday morning so we can get there by Thursday night so we can stay in our hotel with our dear friend Johnny Philp, aka Call Up a Wild. Go subscribe to him on YouTube. So we're there, and I meet him there, and we're like, hey, what's up? We're ready for PAX, everything's great. We're staying at a Marriott. Now, this is a great thing because my family works at a Marriott, so we get pretty good discounts. So we're excited for PAX, we're talking about everything we want to do, and I'm going to some Android details, which will be later in the next episode of the Fire Cup Frequency, Apple and Android. It's gonna be fun. But so yeah, we're speaking and we're like, yo, I can't believe PAX didn't get canceled because everyone's all scared about this coronavirus and everyone's like, oh my god, we're all gonna die. But we're not all gonna die, guys. Don't worry. So we go out to eat. We were like, yeah, this is great food, blah, blah, blah. I didn't really enjoy my food. Then we went back to the hotel and I passed out. Now, we wake up around, I'd say around 6, 7 o'clock. I slept for an extra 30 minutes. We woke up around 7:38. And then we found out that Johnny was already waiting downstairs for us. So I get ready. I get my clothes on. I get my stuff. I get my phone. I get my everything. Basically anything I can grab. And my recording equipment, or at least my phone, because that was my recording equipment. And we headed out for the PAX. You know, we headed out for PAX. So we get on the road, we're driving, we're cruising, we're just having a great time. And then Johnny's service dies while having directions. At first, he thought this was a blessing in disguise because he saw the convention center when he kept going down the lane we were in, even though we were supposed to take an exit. But then he realized he couldn't get into the parking lot, so he had to drive all the way around, and he decided to get food before he came. He went to Burger King and got an Impossible Whopper because he's a vegetarian. Now, me, I made the exit. It took, like, a very long time to get there, but I made the exit, and I'm there, and I'm happy because, you know, it's time for PAX. So first thing I need to do, I didn't eat at all that morning, so I'm like, ooh, I am famished. So I go upstairs to like a dining hall kind of area. It's not really a dining hall, there was just two food stands, and there's a Chinese place. Now, that Chinese place was awesome. I started my day off with some rice and chicken, and everything's going swell. I start my day off with a hefty meal so I can enjoy PAX for, I think, I started at like 10, so like almost 10, 12 hours almost. I don't know, wait. I can't really do the math in my head, but if I end up doing it between segments, I'll tell you how long it was. So after that, I go downstairs and I go to the main lobby to meet up with Frankie and Ella. Now you gotta remember, Johnny was not here yet because Johnny was not, like, he was at Burger King, then he came here, he was stuck in traffic, so he got here a little late. We met up with him, everything was cool. But before we met up with him, we went to the Expo Hall. Now, if you've never heard of the Expo Hall is basically where all the panels, not panels, where all the, showcases are. And, you know, all the booths are, and all the stuff, and all the VR, and everything fine and dandy about PAX. Now, this is a big deal because one of the people I wanted to interview was someone from Parsec. So, me and my friend Ella made it over to the Parsec booth, and I started hanging out there. Now, Parsec was showing off their game streaming software, which, believe me, if you haven't used Parsec, I'm not sponsored, but I'm a big advocate of Parsec. So if you need a game streaming software, then I do really just recommend going to Parsec. Parsec is a great time, a great experience, a great everything. It's lag-free most of the time, as long as you have an okay Wi-Fi connection and everything. So I'm waiting there. Me and Ella playing Stick Fight the Game. And yeah, we're playing that. We're having a great time. Everything's going well. Dandy swell. And then, out of nowhere, I get to talk to the CEO of Parsec. Now, I've been wanting to talk to this guy for a while, so I'm like, hello, my name's Christian Firecup. I'm with the Firecup Frequency. I'm a small gaming/tech podcast, and I've been using your software for a while. They gave me a free t-shirt, and they gave me, Parsec at PAX, and now I'm going to play the interview for you. Let's get into it. We're back, everyone. Today I am interviewing the CEO and co-founder of Parsec. What is your name, sir?
Hey, I'm Benji Boxer. Thanks for having me.
So, here's a question I've been wanting to ask for a while. What gave you guys the idea to make a game streaming service? Like, they weren't really popular when you guys came out, and you guys just came on the scene, and now you have over 2 million people, I hear.
Yeah. Well, what we did when we were starting the business is we looked and said, okay, like, look at Netflix, look at all these other things. They stream video. Well, you know, if you could stream games, what kinds of cool things could you do with that? So we started building the technology based on the idea that we wanted to make games more accessible from anywhere. And streaming really allows you to do that because you can have one gaming PC at home streaming to all of your different devices. And what, you know, the interesting thing about what we decided early on was to make it so that you can host on your own PC rather than doing it from a cloud machine, right?
Now, that actually leads into my next question. Why did you guys get rid of buying cloud PCs off your website?
Well, we feel that really that current people that play video games have the hardware that they want to use to play those video games, and that Parsec, if we focus on making it that hardware accessible from anywhere, you can get a lot from that. You don't need a cloud machine for that. And
you're basically, your computer becomes the cloud.
Exactly.
Third question. This is a question I've been wanting to ask you guys for a very long time. Why did you guys create the web client?
We created the web client because it makes it more accessible for people who can't download the app. It's almost like an onboarding tool for people. So, like, let's say you want your friend to join you and play a local multiplayer game online. You can send them a link from Parsec, and they can join without ever downloading Parsec. They can just join in the browser.
Now, that actually leads up to my next question. Are you guys ever going to update the web client? Because, I mean, I'm not saying your web client's bad. I've had some great experiences with it. But it can get pretty laggy from time to time. So do you guys think you're going to update it soon? Or?
Well, we think that our web client's pretty good. The reason you get laggy situations on a web client versus
on a regular program
is that we're able to optimize our program a lot more
than a web client
because you're forced on a web client to use WebRTC, which is a networking protocol in the web, whereas on our app we can use our own networking protocol that we call Bud.
Now, next question. When do you guys think you're going to be ported over to Apple?
As soon as possible.
So there's no estimated release time?
No, soon though. We're working on it.
So this is actually something I wanted to ask for a little bit as well. How does Parsec work? You kind of talked about it in your last question, but how does it like fully work if you have this?
Sure. So what Parsec does is when you're playing a video game, there's a device in your computer called a GPU.
I know what a GPU is.
Yeah. And
we talk about them a lot, actually.
Oh, cool. Okay. So the GPU is doing all the video rendering. And what Parsec does is we capture that video from the GPU, and then we encode it using specialized hardware on the GPU called an ASIC. And that ASIC is really fast at compressing the video. So then once it's compressed, it's sent over the network using our networking protocol. to your other device, which is then when you get it on your other device, Parsec then decodes it, decompresses it, and makes it so that it's on that device, and then we capture the inputs from your controller and your keyboard and mouse and send that back to the host PC.
Now, another question I have is, I don't know how to phrase it. Like, where do you see the future of Parsec going?
Well, I see the future as making your games accessible from anywhere on any device, so continuing to add more devices, add more technology to the product to make it so that it's a really great experience to play your games from anywhere.
Well, thank you for your time. It was very, very great to meet you.
Great to meet
you
as well.
Thank you for having this interview. And let's get on to the next place. Thank you for watching the Fire Cup Frequency, guys. I'll see you on our next interview.
And I love that you've been using Parsec. Thank you so much.
Yes. As you can see, we had a wonderful, great interview with the CEO of Parsec. Now, that's a big deal because we got to look into the future of Parsec, we got to look into how Parsec worked, and we got to look into a lot of stuff. The game streaming service is pretty great. I will recommend it. Go to Parsec Gaming. Search that on Google. It'll be the first recommended link. It's basically like local multiplayer to the extreme. Now, I recommend Parsec. I've been a member for 2 years. Now, that's a pretty long time, especially since it was my first introduction to game streaming. Now, Parsec is pretty big because, you know, it's Parsec. It's one of the most trusted game streaming services out there right now. So I do really recommend you going to see them and going to listen and look at their program because they're doing such a great job. So after that, me and Ella, you know, we're still playing Stick Fight. I got a free t-shirt. We got a few free snacks from the Parsec Bay booth, which was really great. You know, we were playing video games with this kid. This kid was not the best, but he was still a pretty good kid. He dominated me a few times, and it was pretty great. We were playing Stick Fight. We were just having a great, great time. Now, we're roaming around, we're looking at all the booths, we're looking at the Animal Crossing booth, we're looking at all the other booths, and then we stumble across a card game booth. Now, this card game booth is a pretty cool booth because it is a new, completely new card game. So I went over, I checked what it is, it's a really cool card game, and I was like, you know what, this seems like a pretty cool person to interview. So what I did is I took out my phone again and I recorded another interview. Let's get into that now. Okay, guys, we are back for our second interview. We are interviewing the creative with Widget Ridge. His name is?
Ian Taylor.
Nice to meet you, Ian. My name's Christian. So what made you want to create a card game like this?
Well, I've worked on a number of card games. Star Realms, Hero Realms, WWE Raw Deal back 15 years ago or so. And I've always wanted to make my own. So I formed my own company and I made one.
That's great. Do you mind telling everyone that's listening the game mechanics?
Sure. So it's a regular deck building game. So both players start with the same deck of 10 terrible cards. And they generate resources. In this case, you generate gold and spark.
Oh, that's so cool.
And gold, you buy stuff from the middle row. When you buy stuff, it goes to your discard pile. And when you reshuffle your deck, your discard pile back into your deck, you get to play that stuff. Where Widget Ridge is unique is when you play the card, you can connect them together to make larger inventions. So you might have a coal-powered battle corset with cooling vents. Or something like that. And it reads left to right, and it has an ability that reads left to right as well.
My third question, have you guys ever thought of making an online client for the game? Because online clients for card games are becoming really popular recently. Some examples are Vanguard Zero, the Pokemon TCG, which that's been out for... A few others have been coming on, the scene with their own web/computer clients for the game. Do you guys plan on doing anything like that?
We would love to. We're still a small company. It's just two people right now. So that's a pretty big investment. So when the game takes off, and I'm sure it will, we definitely want to do that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it was great talking to you. Thank you so much for talking to me.
No problem, Christian. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Guys, that was our second interview. Now we're going to move on to our third. Continue watching. I promise this is going to be a great day at PAX.
Okay, so after that, yeah, we talked to the creators of Ridgewood. I wanted to pick up a deck, but I was limited on money, and I was trying to get through as many interviews as possible so I can fully enjoy the Expo Center. Now, the reason why I wanted to fully enjoy the Expo Center is because there was one area that is really interest me. And this area was the Indie Games booth, or the Big Indie Games Collection. I can't completely remember what it was, but we went to a few games there. There's a lot of interesting ones, but one of them really caught me and my friend's eye. We went over there, we played, I talked to the developers, very nice people. If you want to go learn more about this game, the developers' names are the Sheep's Meow. Now, I really am so thankful I met these guys, because I am definitely going to download and buy this game for myself, because,
motion detected at the front door.
But yeah, I'm going to definitely buy this game for myself, because this game was very, very fun. Now, this game premise, you're going to hear an interview, but I wanted to make it more clear, because the devs didn't really, they kind of stuttered a little bit, so I wanted to just clear it up before you heard it. This game is about you're a bug. And this is just the general really basis of the game. The developers go into more detail. You're a bug, and you're switching between light and darkness. When you're in the light, you could hide in light substances. There's light buildings and particles coming at you that you can hide in. When you're dark, you can hide in the dark ones. And you're a bug, and you're not trying to get eaten by birds and prey and stuff. Now, I want you to hear this interview, because this was really, really interesting and really, really fun to and talk about, and all around just just enjoy. So let's get into the interview now. And we are back with the creator of the game Exposure, Game of Camouflage. Their names are
My name is Brian Chung.
Hi, my name is GJ.
And today we're just going to ask him a few questions on why they created the game, how they did it, and stuff like that. First question, why come to PAX to show off your game? Just wondering.
What was that?
Why did you come to PAX to show off your game? Did you do any promotion before this, or is this your first promotion?
Yeah, we've done events before. PAX is huge, and we like connecting with the fans out here. We like being part of the Indie Mega Booth, and this is just a good way to get face-to-face with a lot of our players.
Why did you create this game in the first place?
An interesting question. So it's actually inspired by this bug called the peppered moth. It's often told in the story of evolution and natural selection. It's a moth that comes in two forms, light and dark. Do you want the entire history of it?
If you can do a short version,
you tell what the game is about.
Oh, why don't I do that? The game is about you play as a bug whose only ability is to switch between two colors, light and dark. And the entire environment that you have to hide in is also light and dark. So you have to stay hidden from your predators, because as soon as you're visible, they'll seek you out. So your goal is to hide, collect eggs, have babies, and survive for as long as you can.
Okay, my next question. How long has this game been out for?
It's actually not out yet, but it will be out in fall this year.
That's great. Yep. That's awesome. Respect to you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, both of you. Thank you so much for dealing with my antics. Okay, guys, that was the fourth interview of the day. I hope you have a great day. Let's move on to the next one. And before we continue, I want to play that same ad one more time, because this ad really does help me create the frequency and helps me create, this show for you guys, and helps me hire editors when I can. So if you're not listening on the official platforms, which includes but not limited to Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, and a few others, and you're not listening on an official website podcasting streaming service, please consider going to one of the official ones, preferably Anchor, because that's the one that I will typically make the most off this podcast for, and please listen to it on there. Now, let's get into that, and then we'll be right back. So, yes, the game was called Exposure, a Game of Camouflage. Now, this game really connected with me and my friends because we all just loved the premise and how it ran. And if you guys at the Sheep's Meow listening to this, you guys did an awesome presentation and showcase of your game. Me and my friends loved it. The Firecup Frequency really did like it. And if you want to come on for a more extensive interview, that would be great as well if you're listening. But yeah, we really enjoyed the game. We were there for like 45 minutes. Which was longer than a lot of the other games. It really just caught our eye. The gameplay premise is so unique to games now these days that I wasn't expecting to like it when I came into it, but the game completely blew my expectations out of the water. Now, let's talk about another topic. Now, this segment I'm going to be calling PAX Tech Talk. Now, the first tech we're going to be talking about is not like physical techs, it's more like another game streaming service that I did find at the convention. Now, this game streaming service did one of the most hardest things that I've ever seen a game streaming service done. They used the convention's Wi-Fi to stream games in the same building, but pretty far away, at 1080p full max resolution. Now, that blew me out of the water because PAX Wi-Fi seems to be 2.4 gigahertz, and you have to remember, every single person is using it. So yeah, I went over there, I talked to these people, I'm like, hello, my name's Christian, how you doing? We were supposed to get an interview with them, but we couldn't come back after because we left and we were doing other things. But we were talking to this game streaming service called Gameplay, I believe it was called, or Game Now. If I'm mistaken, please just contact me in our voice messages because we do have those and we're still waiting for someone to contact us on it. But I went over there, I checked it out. Their game streaming service was amazing. It even had Borderlands. Every game I played there was working completely at 1080 resolution. I barely felt any input lag, and that was just a really great thing to feel. You know, when you have an experience like that where you can play big games from your PC at home with horrible Wi-Fi, it just really does mean a lot. Now, our next tech talk. We found the most overexerted computer ever. This computer was valued at $7,000. Now, this computer had two RTX 280 Ti's. Now, if that's not overkill, I don't know what is. It had, I think, either 32 or 64 gigabytes of RAM and like 7 terabytes of space and like the highest Ryzen you can get. I didn't even know what Ryzen had in it. Now, this was at over the XPG booth. I believe that was what it was called. If I'm mistaken again, please tell me. It really does mean a lot for you to tell me. So I was going checking over there, and these computers they were showing off, some of them were like reasonable, and they were like, you know, hey, these are computers that gamers would have. And then we saw this massive circular tower computer that probably could run every new game. It could probably run Half-Life Alyx at full settings, completely fine. That's how beefy this computer was. Now, when I saw this computer, I'm like, this is overkill. My dad was like, how much is this? I'm like, $8,000. And then my dad asked if this was overkill. And I was about to say maybe because I didn't know completely what was in it. But then a guy came over and was like, yes, this is supremely overkill. I do not recommend anyone building or doing a system
motion
like
detected
this.
At the front door.
Now, we were talking for a little bit. This computer was like one of the highest you can build. It's one of the most hardest too because you have to fit two graphics cards in a circular case and it gets a little funky and it kind of works weird. But, dude, when I say this computer was beefy, it could probably play every game that has ever existed for any console. Like, once the Switch emulator's optimized for, you know, PCs, that thing could probably run the Switch emulator like it was an ice cream sandwich on a Sunday morning. That's how good this thing was. Now, I was in awe because you guys know I love looking at some over-the-top exerted computers, and I'm also building my own computer. So I was asking him questions. I asked if I can get an interview, but too bad that they were so busy right there. I was meaning to come back to them as well, but then I had to do other things, and I had to hang out with my friends, and I had to do a bunch of other stuff. And yeah, that was not yeah, I couldn't get an interview, but it was a wild experience seeing that PC. Now, let's get on to more interviews and more topics. So the next people I have interviewed was people at MSI. They're the laptop/gaming computer building company, and they were super nice and friendly with me. They were explaining what they were doing and everything, and I really just did respect what they did. They said they weren't trying to sell anything. They were advertising their new products, but they weren't trying to sell anything. You couldn't buy anything there. And it was a great experience seeing everyone just sit down and play League of Legends. And then we have something big to talk about. So let's get into it.
And we are back. Welcome back, guys. This is the fifth interview of the day. I am with, what's your name?
Norville over at MSI.
Yeah, and we're going to just be asking a few questions about MSI. First question, why did you guys start MSI? What was the main goal of the beginning?
So initially when we started MSI, we were manufacturing motherboards and graphics card. And over the years, we've decided to do full-on systems since we are already manufacturing boards and graphics card. We got into the gaming industry because initially, back in the day, there was a need for high-performance gaming PCs. There wasn't a lot of options out in the market, and so we were kind of the innovators in this particular field. And so today, here at PAX, with all the gamers and with all of our latest hardware.
Second question, what do you think your most powerful pre-built system is? Laptop.
So, at PAX here, we have our exclusive GS66 Stealth, which has not yet been released to the general public for purchase. So definitely go check that one out. That's our flagship device, 99.9-watt battery, which has the biggest legal limit that you can actually take onto an airplane, 300 hertz refresh rate on a laptop, up to 2080, super latest Intel generation CPU. So that's our flagship device. If you want portability with extreme performance, that's the way to go.
Next question. What are you guys trying to get out of coming to PAX?
What do we get?
Like what are you guys trying to achieve by coming to PAX?
Oh, just give back to the community. You know, here we have our esports. We have our esports experience, which allows players to come on stage, try out our latest monitor, desktop, basically our battle station, play with the community. We're not out here trying to sell anything. We're just here, enjoying the community as it is, enjoying PAX all in all, and then having some activities here at booth.
What games are being played in the esports center right over?
So right, well, all day, every day, every hour on the hour, we're randomly selecting 10 people for a 5-on-5 for League of Legends.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This was a great interview, great getting to know MSI. I'm just starting to dabble in some of your products. Guys, that was the fifth interview. This was with MSI. We're going to go over to the sixth one now. Thank you so
much. Thanks so
much.
So now I'm going to be talking about my experiences at the Nintendo booth for Animal Crossing. So first, we get in the line, and we're just in line, and I'm nervous because I don't have a reservation, and my friend is trying to sneak me in and just trying to scan her Nintendo account only without them noticing me. So we went over the heart of one of the people who are working in the line, and they're telling the other people just to let me through because I'm a kid and it's not going to cause any harm, and no one will even tell because, you know, I'm next to my friend scans it, and no one will get really mad. So she does that, I go in, and I start playing Animal Crossing. I have a few grudges with this game. This game is, it's great from what I saw, but the local multiplayer, I don't think it needs to get removed, or you change it up, because making it so only the leader can like craft and build and stuff kind of sucks, because you're just basically acting like a slave to the person you're playing with, which isn't very good. Now, like I said, the game is great. Now, if Nintendo does online multiplayer right and lets you start online items with your friends, then holy crap, man, like it's about to be a great game. I never really connected with Animal Crossing because Animal Crossing was just never on my radar. Animal Crossing was a game that I was like, hey, okay, this looks kind of cool. And when I actually popped on and played it, I was like, oh, okay. This is really cool. When I had jailbroke my Wii, I downloaded Animal Crossing because I heard it was a marvelous game. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just play it. Let me see how I feel. And I felt really strongly about it. Now, after all that, I started walking around and I started looking at other booths and I started looking at other areas. Now, after Animal Crossing, I went to a bunch of different places. I went to some art places, art booths. I went to get some food. I played VR and I did a lot of other stuff. But before we continue talking about that, I have a new segment that I'm calling Frankie's Experiences, because Frankie deserves to have an experience. This episode might not even hit an hour, but I still want it to try. So Frankie's going to share his experiences and we're going to see how that goes, because, you know, Frankie's experiences are my experiences. But before that, we're going to continue talking about it. So after that, like I said, after I did all that, I went to get some more food and I got this like chicken bowl with rice and stuff. It was really good. And I was just really happy about it because, you know, me being a happy boy means I get to have a happy time at PAX. Now, me, Frankie, and Ella were walking around. We wanted to do some VR. We wanted to do a bunch of other stuff. And then we went back to the indie games area. And yeah, we were looking around. Everything seemed pretty cool. And then I found the best booth to ever exist at PAX. Sorry about me talking while my Wi-Fi shut off when I was recording this part. So this is the second recording. This is the second recording of this part. So yeah, I have to like recap what I said and stuff. I should have really recorded this on my computer's app, but I'm not, because it's easier to just edit this way. So, like I was saying, I found the most holiest booth ever. This is a Retro Games booth. Everything from Wii under. So it had, I think it had a working copy of my favorite game, the speedrun, and my favorite game in general, Super Mario 64, baby. And when I saw that, I started flipping out. I wanted to buy it right there, but then I'm like, it would be a waste of just collect dust, because I don't have an N64. But now that I'm getting one, I regret not getting it there, and it's just like, damn, that's a bummer, you know? Like, playing Mario 64 is my favorite game to play in general with friends and family and stuff, because online multiplayer, local multiplayer with the mods and stuff, and everything's, you know, everything is like going well and great and stuff. And yeah, it's just like, you know, I just really like the game and I wanted a copy of it to actually have, but I didn't end up picking it up. I would probably get it with the eBay bundle I'm getting for this N64. But like I was saying, I love Super Mario 64, so when I saw the cartridge, I started freaking out, and I looked at all the other stuff. This was basically the biggest retro games booth I've ever seen in my entire life. They had everything, and when I mean everything, they even had consoles, which is really good. One of the consoles they had in like almost new condition was the NES. An NES. Okay, I'll call it by its normal name. It had no damages on it, it had no nothing, and I was just super happy for like 10 minutes straight just looking at all the old tech. But now, after that's out of the way, let's get into Frankie's segment.
Hello everyone, my name is Frankie the Armed Wither, and welcome to the guest appearance on this episode of the Fire Cup Frequency. I want to thank Christian for letting me on to talk about my experience at the convention known as PAX East 2020. So, let's get right into it. Before we start, I also do want to thank Anchor, like Christian does every episode. This podcast would never be possible without Anchor. Anchor is just so great to all of us. So, thank you, Anchor. So, yeah, let me talk about my experience at PAX East. So, PAX East, it was a very fine convention this year. I could not complain about my trip to Boston this year. I think 2020, the 10th anniversary of PAX East, the university theme this year, was exceptionally better than all the other years because, yes, due to the COVID-19, also known as the novel coronavirus, or simply just coronavirus, did limit some stuff on the convention, such as PlayStation dropping out, and Oculus, and Microsoft. That really sucked because, like, you know, VR, PlayStation, and Xbox, I just love them as platforms. And it really sucked for them not to be there. But, you know, I got through it. So, really, I arrived on Friday morning in PAX, and yeah, I just got right into my day. So, when I got to BCEC, I walked in, met up with some friends. We actually, with Christian and Ella and Johnny, we went down to the expo hall, and we just had a glorious time. So on the expo floor, there was actually many variety things to do. Mainly, the main attraction was obviously Animal Crossing New Horizons, which comes out next week, actually a week from today, on March 20th, 2020. But we were, we went to the Parsec booth, which you would hear from one of the interviews. We got to interview him, which was really cool. Christian got to interview the CEO, the COO of Parsec, which is really, really cool. But yeah, other than that, there was actually a lot of other cool things we did. I actually went online to get the Isabel pin, which is a very rare Nintendo collector's item. You know, as of now, as of after PAX East. What else was there? There was the Discord booth. The Discord booth was actually pretty cool this year because they were handing out some free merch, which was actually pretty nice. You know, with Discord handing out like free merch, I really feel like this could increase their business model and be helping Discord, you know, at conventions and really help them with their real life. And they sold out of Wumpus plushies very, very fast. If you guys don't know what a Wumpus is, I don't know what kind of world you're living in. Because a Wumpus is a Wumpus, okay? Discord's mascot. But anyways, with selling out of Wumpus plushies, giving out free Hype Squad merch and pins, that was really a highlight of the Discord booth. Some other booths that I went to were the VR free play. And the VR free play this year was actually very good because I myself actually got to try out the best VR headset on the market right now, known as the Valve Index. And let me tell you, the Valve Index is amazing. For $700 to $1,000 for that headset, I don't know if I agree with the price, but the controllers were so comfortable. The headset felt so firm on my face. I felt like I could be on that thing for hours. I actually got to play Job Simulator on the Valve Index, which encouraged me a day later to buy it on my Oculus Quest. And I know Christian on the series does like to talk about a lot of VR and computer stuff. So it's really nice that me, Christian, and Ella all got to try out the of the Valve Index, which is just so high quality. And with the high quality headset, it just, describe it. It just felt this indescribable feeling of being in VR, more than the Oculus Rift S or the Quest, which are two headsets I've experienced before, can offer at the current time of this state in VR technology. So, other than that, I did actually some other cool stuff. The merch selection this year at PAX, let me talk about that. The merch this year was very cool. Let me describe it like that. Basically, the Varsity Jacket and the beanies were the highlights of all the merch this year. The Varsity Jacket, since it was university theme, it's very nice. Actually, I have it right in front of me. Let me describe to you what the Varsity Jacket looks like. The Varsity Jacket has embroidered red script text, Boston. And the name Boston is so excellent. The city of Boston is my favorite city. It's just the city, it has this undescribable feeling. And that's what makes PAX, that's actually one of the reasons which makes PAX so wonderful. On the other side, it has this this red and black P for PAX East. It has PAX embroidered on it, the fabric on it, it's so wonderful. It's so soft on the inside too. It has 20 for 2020, obviously. And on the back, it says acceptance duel, which means in Latin, another home and welcome home. And that's really just PAX welcoming home every single year. It's welcome you home to Boston, Massachusetts. And the the environment of PAX. You know, going to PAX East for the past 2 years has really taught me a lesson with the gaming industry. It's just, it's so incredible to meet these people and try out these booths and all of these unreleased games that it just makes you want to come back every single year for more. I know PAX East has made me want to seek more conventions and try out all of the latest advancements in technology. And it's just so incredible how PAX has brought together the gaming industry. With E3 being canceled because of the novel coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, it's just, with E3 being canceled, there's a lot in the gaming industry that we can't do. But with PAX East, with BCEC and PAX not canceling PAX East, it really brought some light on the gaming industry and helped the gaming industry come over the loss of these other conventions and rise up together for one weekend to play some of the newest video games and try out some of the newest hardware and technology. So, I think now we can get into a very great topic of the PAX East interview. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Animal Crossing New Horizons had to be the highlight of my PAX East. I got to try out the game for a total of 20 minutes on a demo with four other people, which I don't know the names of. It was a Nintendo employee, two other people, but just the game felt so great. I am a longtime Animal Crossing fan, starting New Leaf, which actually isn't that long, but the game has just had such a drastic toll in emotions to everyone that the New Horizons game that went PAX really was the highlight for a lot of people this year at the Penny Arcade Expo 2020 in Boston, Massachusetts. There's this indescribable feeling that Animal Crossing can give a person. It's just, Animal Crossing is such a great game. When I stepped into the booth, I felt instantly immersed in the Animal Crossing world because it was this whole Animal Crossing themed booth. Like, they had photo ops, they had characters such as Isabel, KK Slider, and Tom Nook, and all of the Nintendo staff were really nice, all of the people were really nice, and just the environment of the Nintendo booth this year was really nice. Also, a couple other booths I did experience. The MSI booth. Let me talk about that. MSI, it has been bringing some advancements to the PC hardware and peripherals scene for the past couple of years. And just specifically with its processor, the GeForce, they've really, in my opinion, helped the gaming industry so much. I know one of my friends has an MSI PC, or he did, and he just described it how, even though the fans were not the best, the hardware in it itself, other than just the fan, was so good. He was able to get the best FPS possible running on a gaming laptop. And MSI's advancements in the gaming industry really helped. Yeah, so that was the MSI booth. They were also hosting a tournament there too, which was really cool. It's really cool. MSI has just really been involved in esports and the gaming industry itself. Next, I think we should talk about the Adult Swim panel. So the Adult Swim panel, it was actually really cool this year. Personally, I left early because I didn't know nothing that they were talking about, but I really felt like the Adult Swim panel was interesting. It was actually talking about the making of the newest game in the Samurai Jack franchise. And the game is actually called Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. And it's basically Jack, which he's a samurai, and actually the show was on Cartoon Network, and it aired a season, don't quote me on this, but 2016-2017 on Adult Swim, one for the finale. And I really believe that this game has so much potential. You know, with the creator and one of the other directors showing up at PAX East, it really brought the hype to the audience. And I saw people leaving throughout, and I was kind of disappointed, even though I left myself, because I didn't really find the panel all entertaining. But I do feel like, even going on the topic of the TV industry for a minute, the TV industry has been dying down in recent years, obviously, with all the streaming, the cable, and all that. But streaming services, what I really believe is, with streaming services such as, you know, Netflix and YouTube and every YouTube TV and all that, and Disney Plus, with them having these shows, which can eventually turn into video games, gives it so much potential to lead in all the way from the streaming industry, which is, you know, streaming shows, to video games, which can at times can be two completely different things, to combine into one thing to become just this sensation of video games. It just I feel like the Samurai Jack game has so much potential. I don't plan on playing it myself, but I do feel that everyone who does play it will be 100% immersed in your experience. Now, let me talk about one more thing. It's actually my last topic here before I have to end my session and turn it back over to Christian. There's this game, which actually Christian did interview one of the developers for. It's called Exposure, the Game of Camouflage. It is set to launch in Fall 2020 on Steam for Windows and maybe Mac. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. But Exposure, it's basically this game. Think of it like Agario, Slither.io, but as a platformer, as an actual game. You are basically a dog, and you have to camouflage yourself by pressing a button and moving throughout the circle without getting eaten by these enemies. I just feel the music and the soundtrack in this game, it's so, so indescribable. I really can't describe how amazing the gameplay and the music were in this game. Exposure, I really am excited to play your game. And to all the guys over at the Sheep's Meow, which is the developers of Exposure, I am so looking forward to playing your game in fall of 2020. I am super stoked to see what you guys have in store. And yeah, I'd 100% recommend Exposure to anyone who likes Slither.io or Agario. Just hiding in disguise with this game. Like, you basically click a button and you hide, and you have to move away from these monsters. And it's just the game feels like something that you've seen before, but something you haven't seen before. It's just that indescribable feeling. So yes, I would just like to say thanks to Christian for letting me on here. And yeah, thanks Christian for letting me on here. And just, I had such a fun time at PAX East this year. I 100% recommend going to Boston in 2021 to go to PAX East. So, yep. Guys, hope you have a great day. Stay with her, and peace out.
And that was Frankie. Now, the last experience I want to talk about is the VR PlaySpace. He already mentioned it. And the VR PlaySpace was super surreal this year. I'll tell you why right now.
This is the last interview of the Fire Club Frequency for tonight. I decided for the last format, we're actually not going to be doing it live. We're going to be talking about it and playing the interviews as the video goes on, guys. But the last interview isn't some fancy game developer, isn't some Warcraft packs. It's just a general user experience. What is your name, sir?
My name is Michael Colombo.
So Michael Colombo, how many years have you been coming to PAX?
I believe this is my fourth or fifth year. I'm not exactly sure.
And has any year ever disappointed you?
Not once. Never.
What's your favorite thing to do in the Expo Hall?
Just going around, seeing what new games are coming out, trying out all the indie games. I like supporting small developers.
So I have a question. What are your thoughts on game streaming services like Parsec and New Game over there?
Well, I mean, I've never really been a streaming type of person, so I'm indifferent, honestly.
What is your favorite VR game you get to play here?
I get to play here? Probably, I liked Vacation Simulator. I don't own that one, so that was really fun. My favorite VR game is Windlands.
Your favorite VR game is what, sorry?
Windlands.
Cool.
It's like Spider-Man.
Have you ever played Beat Saber? And if you have, what difficulty can you play?
I can play on highest difficulty. I like to say
plus?
I'm pretty good at Beat Saber.
Nice. Oh, well, thank you for talking to me. If this is okay, this will be going on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If that's okay with you, I just need to get your consent before I finish this episode.
It is okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Michael Colombo played VR with me and my friends because my friends ended up joining me back in line before I got in. So all three, four of us went in. So my first, the two of my friends went first. Me and Michael were talking. He was a great dude. He was just talking away. He was just being very nice. And he was telling me about $100 mystery box he got. So he was telling me, like, hey, I got Borderlands. And then it was for the Xbox 360, but I didn't know. But then he asked randomly, do you have an Xbox 360? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, hey, I want you to take the three pack of Borderlands that I have for the Xbox 360. Of course, I said no at first, but then my dad gave the A-okay, and we talked about it. Like, you know, Michael Colombo was a good person at PAX. Like, he wasn't rude, he wasn't mean, he was a great person, and I want to thank him for being so, like, so patient with me, because I can get pretty annoying sometimes, I'll be honest. And but yeah, so that was basically PAX. I had a lot of good time. I'm gonna just recap. We went to the expo hall, we went to Animal Crossing, we went to a bunch of other places, like, I don't know, we went to like Parsec new game, the retro video games booth, and a bunch of other things. And and yeah, all that bunch of stuff that was really great. And I was just, PAX was so good. My experience, here's the overall user experience for me. PAX is a convention where people can gather and be themselves. They can like anime and go to anime booths, or they can like video games and go to indie game booths and video games. Even people who like just solely tech have a place at PAX. And that's what's so great about it. PAX is that one place you can go to every year that you'll be accepted by everyone and anyone that just wants to accept you. With PAX being this big, they even had university merch, which is really cool. I picked up a hat. I fell for the trap of merch, and I did pick up a hat. Everyone was very nice. Like, the Parsec CEO, at first I was getting a little nervous about talking to him, but then when I actually talked to him, he was a great guy. The developers of Exposure, the game that me and Frankie really liked, Sam Ella, was a very nice dude, a very nice person, and the girl developer was very wonderful as well. And every developer slash booth I talked to was so absolutely nice. In the car, me and my dad were talking and recapping, and even my dad was like, hey, this year was a really good year, because PAX is just that one place where anyone that wants to be themselves can be themselves for a day that isn't usually accepted at school or at work or wherever they aren't accepted at. With PAX being like this, it's just, you know, it's like, you can't go wrong with it, and I'm just super happy about how everything turned out. Like, PAX really didn't make my year. I got a bunch of cool stuff. I got three video games, and I just got to meet a bunch of crazy and wacky people that just want to be themselves, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with it, guys. And it was just, it was such a great time that I think I'm going to be doing, if this podcast stays up till next PAX, then I think I'm going to be doing a PAX episode every year. And surprise, maybe the year after this one, because E3 was canceled, we might even do an E3 video. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the Fire Cup Frequency. I am your host, Christian Fire Cup. And I just want to say thank you for all of our supporters. Thank you for everyone who listens on the supported platforms, because without you guys, I really wouldn't have the motivation to do this, because people who aren't listening on the supported platforms, they don't count as listeners, and I don't get ad revenue, which helps me produce more content for this podcast, just like this. This episode took a while to record, and just because you guys motivating me, it really did help me get through the whole, you know, recording. I got Frankie on board. Everything went so smoothly at PAX, and everything just went so right. On the way home, I fell asleep for like an hour. I got home, and when I laid in my bed, I just took a deep, satisfying sigh, because I know I'm gonna have to wait till next year to go back. But I just want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Fire Cup Frequency. Like I said, I'm your host, Chris Firecup, and I'll see you on the next episode while we talk about another Android thing for iOS. Bye-bye.